And an update on my grandson, just so you guys can be praying. He has to go before the judge one more time. He had a new probation officer, and she doesn't even know him from Adam, and a new prosecuting attorney. He didn't even know the case. So what they were going to do was take him and just put him in prison 6 years and just let go of it. Well, his attorney, but I believe it was God, said he would like to get him in treatment. This is the only thing that's going to keep him out of going to prison for 6 years. He goes before the judge again, and if he does, he'll go to treatment for 6 months, and then he goes to like a halfway house, I don't know what it's called, for another 6 months. And I'm praying that's the way the Lord does it, but I do want his perfect will in every situation, because I want my kids and my grandbabies. It's not about the flesh. It's about what we do in the Lord, and you're standing before the judge, the real judge. And I know he sees our hearts, and that's what I want them to know. I've taught them that from the time they were little. If God be for you, who can be against you? And if you stand alone, it's better to stand with truth than with someone who's not being honest. So I want to go on here, and we're going to go over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, before I went in there, the Holy Spirit led me and said, look up at verse 31 of chapter 4. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman. But there's been a change. We are of the free. So if that change has been made, you're a new creation. Jesus has come and made a change in our life, and he did all this. It's all I believe God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's what he wants us to do. Believe. So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, works, but of the free. You're no longer in bondage. And I want you to think about something. This week I was pondering this, that the children of Israel, they were told, you apply the blood to the doorpost, and when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. Okay, so here's the blood. Now, they were passed over. They're saved because of one thing. When I see the blood applied, that was it. But they went to the wilderness, and then what happened? They died in the wilderness. They didn't continue on the blood way. They didn't continue on and believe that when you're applying that blood, you're born again, you're a new believer. God sees the blood applied. And that's what I believe with us. He sees the blood applied, not me. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see that life of Jesus in you, I don't care what growth you're at. When I see the blood, life is in the blood. When I see it, I'm going to pass over you. But you keep walking. You keep believing. God was in control. God was making a way when there seemed to be no way. Man would fall short of it every time. When I went into chapter 5, this is the liberty. And it's threatened by legalism. Stand fast. And I looked up those words, and it said, stay firm. Hold one's ground. I hate when I see hold something, though. But that's what it said as far as concordance. But even man can put stuff in that concordance, so be careful. Hold one's ground. I believe that means you take your stand. This is my land. He gave it to me. But I don't hold anything. I hold not the rock, but the rock holds me. If we are in any way in any of this stuff, we will fail. Our hold, you can hold on as long as you want. But I tell you what, you'll let go eventually. I'd rather him hold me. Let the rock hold you. Stand fast also means stay strong. Not in your own self, in the Lord. Keep growing. Keep going. Persevere and press. So you stand fast. That means you're just going to take a firm stand for truth. That's it. We are not children of the bond woman, but of the free. So you stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You didn't do it. So when you're taking your firm stand, you're believing in what? He did it all for me. He's the whole thing now. Our eyes are on Jesus. And he says, in the liberty. We talked about the faith. Okay? The way. The truth. The life. Now it's the liberty. You could not set yourself free from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, or from the very presence of sin. But Christ came out of one reason. He loved us, and he gave himself for us. In the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Don't and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. People will come and try to put you under a yoke, put you under the law. Don't do it. You don't have to. You're yoked up with Christ. You're yoked up in his love. That's why he said, be yoked with me. My love, learn of me now. That's all I want to know. I just want to know him. So you don't do what? Don't be entangled. That means if you're not entangled with something, don't get caught up in it. Don't let it be weaved into your life. Don't let these things happen, because this is what happened to them. Who came in and brought you under this bondage again? I set you free, and you're free indeed. You don't go back and put yourself under the law so you can please God or you can please man, basically, because these people that had come in, always remember the law will point to you. Look what I did. What did the Pharisees? They stand there in their long robes. They stand in all their works. They stand in all these things. And people are looking at them. It puts them on a high standard. The grace of God brings you to a low place. You're humble. You see who you are. You see your need. But he raised you and set you in a high place. But if you don't, you're not going to learn it all at once. You have to come down and know that you have not done this by your own works. And if you have, you need to start over. In other words, start over in your growth. Allow him. I am a child. I want to grow up. I need to know him. Not me try to stay away and keep from doing these things or don't say this and don't do that. No, we're not under bondage. We're people of the free. We were born from above. So you stand fast in that liberty. Therefore, Christ made us free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised, if you think you have to do something in yourself, works, cut off this, stop going there, don't talk like that, any of those things. He said, if you think it's you going to make yourself righteous before God, it's filthy rags. He said, Christ will profit you nothing. It's still there, but you don't see your need. You did in the beginning. Most people will say, well, I didn't want to go to hell. I needed a redeemer. But he wants to save you not only from the penalty of your sins. There is power of sin today going on. He said, I'm saving you. I'm keeping you from the very power of sin today. The things that seem to bind you, it's only to remind you, look to him. You are free. If you're born again, you are as free can be. But you have to grow to know him. That's why it's the liberty. This liberty is of Christ. Just like we're born free. We hear all this stuff about July 4th. You know, and everyone's saying happy, you know, July 4th, whatever. But I think, you know what? happy am I in the Lord. I'm so happy in Him because He gave Himself for me. He set me free. Do you know that when prisoners leave a prison, they leave that prison and they don't even know they're free. They don't know how to act as a free man anymore. But if they're in Christ, they're going to know. I think it was Kathy and Rod when they went to Hawaii. They came back and told about the lepers. They were free to leave that island. But did they leave? No. You've been set free. You are free. Yes, free indeed. Why are we remaining there? Because we need to grow. It's not you remaining there to condemn yourself. I never think yourself higher than anybody else. Otherwise, you know what's going to happen when you put yourself under law? You'll do anything and everything to get you to that place, no matter what you have to do, at the expense of anybody, because your whole thought is on you. It's not on anything else. Law always points to the person, pleasing man. Are they pleased with the way I talk? Are they pleased with what I do? No. Is He pleased? We've left Him out of the whole picture. But I tell you, that person who knows, I'm free. And he begins to expound on this word, and it's preached to us. I said, I made you free. You are free. What are you doing with the freedom that I gave you? You don't have to remain in bondage. You know, when you see a prisoner, they come out, they have chains on their ankles, chains on their hands or wrist, and it's a sad thing to look at. But they don't walk normal. They don't walk free. They walk like someone who's in bondage because they're not free. They don't know the word of God. He said, behold, I say to you, if you be circumcised, Christ is going to profit you nothing. So you can do all your self-works that you want to do, but it's of no profit. It won't last. Then he says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever, here's why, whosoever of you are justified by the law. The law was never given to you. Whosoever is justified, you're righteous, you're standing justified. But can you honestly say that every day? Or are you looking at something about your flesh? Well, it doesn't look like I am. Do you know Paul went through the same thing? The things I know not to do, that's what I'm doing. He was having this battle going on. The flesh, the spirit, it was warring one with the other. If you think about it, that's happening every day. But that's where overcoming comes in. That's why I honestly feel like we must overcome to be in that first rank. How do we overcome? Not something that I go, well, I overcame today, ha, ha, ha. No, I overcame by God's grace. I called upon Him. He sustained me. He gave me what was needed to get me through this. And he says, whosoever you are justified by the law, no works, you don't have to work. You're fallen from grace. Grace is the only thing that's going to finish this in your life. Bring your state up to your standing. Bring that set apart sanctification. Bring that up to where it's supposed to be. That's why it's here a little, there a little, line upon line. We don't get all this overnight. That's why we want to stay in the Word of God. He will come and He will talk to you in every circumstance. He'll talk to you. He'll tell you exactly what to do. The one thing people do is put this way. They'll pull every book you can think of. And I know the power of the Holy Spirit brought this to me just yesterday. I was thinking, well, Lord, I want to rightly divide and do all this, you know, but I also don't want to take the power of the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit is to lead you and guide you and take you into the deep things of God, the simplicity of the gospel. He's going to take you deeper and deeper in these things. We can believe that. He was sent here to lead you and guide you, not into some of it, into all the truth. So if you have the power of the Holy Ghost, and, you know, I've used commentaries, but if I do, I always ask the Lord. I want to be led by the Spirit. I have one thing that you guys don't have, and that is I don't comprehend what I read. I could hate that, but I love it because I can't comprehend without the power of the Holy Ghost. So he won't let me get anything that I'm not supposed to have. He says, no. I may not even understand why. But that's what leading and guiding by him. Lead. Let the Holy Ghost lead you where you're supposed to be. Let the Holy Spirit have free reign in your life and submit to it. That's where you're going to find more liberty and more freedom, more happiness, more joy than you've ever had. But he says, you've fallen from grace. And that doesn't mean, oh, you went back out in the world, you've been doing this, you've fallen from grace. Really? Then what does it mean when God said he reached down? He came down to the lowest of lowest. I don't think there's any place you can go that the grace of God cannot keep you. He'll be there. It doesn't matter where you go. You can't go away from him. You may think you did, but he sees right where you're at. We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Through the Spirit, we know we haven't seen a glorified body yet, right? We haven't got the glorified body. That's the last thing you're going to receive. Well, let's get the first things first. I must be saved. I want to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. So he will convict me. He will share with me all these truths deep into them. I mean, it'll become so personal. You feel like you're standing on a rock and you dive in and go deeper. And you get back up and you ponder it. And you get up and you dive down and he takes you deeper. The Holy Spirit does it. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he says, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. Jew or Gentile. The Jew may have done everything, you know, Paul under the feet of Gamaliel. All those people, they walked the closest to the law that they could. But the bad thing is, if you're indebted to the law, you got to keep it all. If I'm indebted to anything besides love, you have to keep the whole law. You can't break any of it. I don't think that's a good place to be. Faith works by love. I love you, Jesus. He loved me first. I love him because he first loved me. And as we study these truths, he shows us, I set you free. I made you free, Penny. You're not under bondage to nobody. You are walking before me. I'm God. You're walking before me. Ye did run well. Ever heard this? Now think of that. You did run well. What were they running for? They were told. They were told to run. You know, you can walk, but you can run. There are times when you're to walk, but there's times when you're to run. And in Philippians, it's run that you may win. You were running so well. Who did hinder you? Who came in and told you that you had to be under the law? Or that you had to work this thing? You have to be center of attention. You must be the one who studies this Bible and you must get it all. No, it ain't gonna happen, folks. Will not happen. You study and he will give you what he wants to give you at that moment, little by little. And you get in the Word of God, and that's the same thing. You've got to get in here so you can get close to him, so he reveals to you. Who hindered you? What did they hinder him from? Obeying the truth. Most people would say, well, that's law. You just told someone they have to obey. No, you're in obedience because of love. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. We must suffer to win Christ as our bridegroom. This persuasion, whoever told you this, it does not come from him that calleth you. I did not call you to put you back under bondage. Because a little leaven, a little work, leaveneth the whole lump. You see, I can see this so plain. It's just like the Holy Spirit working in us, leading you, guiding you. That's where your confidence is. And he said, a little leaven spoils the whole lump. God isn't going to lead you into bondage. The Holy Spirit is leading us into all truth. The truth says you've been made free. You're not in bondage. I have confidence in you. How did he have confidence? Through the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded. I think all the way through this, the Lord is telling us, I want your mind to be set on these things. I want you to know who you are. You've been born again, and it's all by God's grace. I know, but I can't do it. That's right, you can't do it. So what do? Wait. When there's an I can't do, you know you can through Christ. You must ask the Lord for the grace. He'll give another fold of his grace. And when he gives it, I went through that this week. And it was, he had to come in and say, I don't want you to say anything. You be still. Ponder it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Because people who get angry at their jobs, they quit. They leave. People who get upset with marriages, they leave. They walk out. Kids get mad at home. They leave. They walk out. Why? No submission. No submission to authority. It's out of order. We want to obey the truth. Submit to it. This persuasion, it didn't come from him that called you. Because I won't lead you to bondage. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be no otherwise minded. He that troubleth you will bear his judgment, whosoever he be. So if he troubles you, my God says he'll bear his own judgment. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. Not that you war one with another. It's you get your hands off the judgment and let God be the judge, righteous judge. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, if I'm preaching all this stuff, and I'm telling you, cut off this, and you shouldn't go there, and don't go to clubs, and don't drink, don't cuss, say the right thing, do everything right. You got to be perfect. And you can't break any of it. Why am I suffering persecution? If I'm doing that which is holy and it's all, well, you think it's all good and it's right. I'm sure the Pharisees, yeah, people didn't want to come against them. Why? Fear. They didn't want to take a stand, having done all to stand. They wanted to go along with everybody so you get along with everybody. That is not God's word. We have to take a firm stand in truth. And it's all because of love. It is because of love. You've got to love. You still love the individual. You remember, forgive as I have forgiven you. They come and go, you know, I'm really sorry I did that. I already forgave you. I really did. Not by my works, but by God's grace. He changed my attitude. He changed my heart. Because he wants his body in oneness. The unity that he gave us. We don't have to make unity. Y'all better be nice to me, because if you're not nice to me, you're out of my one group. No. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why am I suffering or persecuted? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would they were even cut off to trouble you. And I remember Gene, when he preached this, I wish they would just die. I wish I could say that. I just can't. I don't know what he was going through, but I just can't. I'm let them die, I guess, to their flesh. I don't know. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. You hear what you've been called to? You're free. You can walk with ease. Only don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Because by love, you serve one another. If you knew someone was an alcoholic and they were really stuck on this, would you go and get a drink and say, well, I have the liberty to drink it. Sorry, you can't. Well, that's a lot of love. Because 9 times out of 10, they're going to do it. And I'm not saying put yourself under bondage. I am saying let love be the motivation of everything you do. Think about it at Thanksgiving. I think if I had anything I would tell people today, Thanksgiving and Christmas, always remember there are people that do not have what you have. And you go around people not even thinking. You go around and say, we're having turkey, we're having ham. Oh, I've got 17 presents. Or did you see so-and-so got a present? What about the ones who didn't? I wonder who looked around and saw that. Who didn't get a gift? You see, there's a deep love message in that. And I had to learn it because we were the ones. We had nothing. I would have been happy to have a hot dog. But all they had, turkey and ham and presents and get-togethers. And no thought about those that were around them. None whatsoever. Well, think about what you have, grace. Think about what you have. Maybe they don't know this. And you don't know it all either. My Bible says that. You're growing. Brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Don't use your liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. All the law is fulfilled in one word. Love. Even in this, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. And as I went through this in Galatians, the Lord did it. And he used one man. And it was my husband. And it was like, I knew it was the Lord. Are you walking in the Spirit? I'm asking everyone in here, are you walking in the Spirit today? Well, you get to measure it according to God's word. If you're bitter, if you're bitter towards somebody, you're not walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the flesh. And he said, this is what I want you to grow up in. First, he let them know, this is what all this is about. If you bite and devour one another, take heed. You'll be consumed one of another. The enemy does not have to come in and fight at all. He can get one in a household to fight and just start stirring it up. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Are you walking in the Spirit if you're bitter? No. What if you bite and devour one another? What if you gossip about someone? The flesh lusts against the Spirit. There's a war going on. This is a spiritual warfare. He said, the spirit against the flesh, they're contrary one to another, that you cannot do the things that you would. You know, you may want to do something, but I don't do that anymore. I don't even have the desire for it. I remember when I didn't have the desire to watch TV. Well, you're under law then. Because what do? They know that law keepers can't watch TV. They know that law keepers have to dress a certain way. So if you do it because of a heart change in attitude, you're doing that because you're under law. Wrong. You're doing it because someone got a hold of my heart and he changed my desires. I have a desire to please him. I didn't have to quit watching it. I didn't want to watch it. I don't have to quit anything. You just fall in love with him and your desires will become his desire. Set your affection on things above. I remember law keepers at that time, when we would go shopping, I didn't want to stop in the store and watch a soap opera on the TV. But the ones who had to not watch TV, they couldn't watch it. It's against their law. They ran over to that department, and they were always watching TV and we're supposed to be shopping. That's a law keeper. You're under the burden that you can't do something that you feel led to do. Well, I just kept walking. But you don't know how many times. Long hair, dress, watching TV, not going to the clubs anymore. You can do all that, but if you're doing it in the flesh, it profits you nothing. But it's a sad thing when Christians are told, you're under law, because you do that. You're under law. I go, what? Well, I didn't even do it on purpose. It just happened. One person says, why do you have to dress like that to be a Christian? Dress like what? I gave no thought about what I was going to put on today. What are you talking about? You see, because I never knew there was such a battle going on. And now it's gotten into the churches. They're under law. No, they're not under law. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're under His grace. You're led by the Spirit of God. How many people want to get up and talk about gluttony to people when there's big, heavy people in the meeting? You better preach the whole counsel. The whole counsel of God. If there's a drunk, an alcoholic, I don't care what they are, that's walking in the flesh. This is what we do. We preach this word right here. It cuts it up. It shows that Jesus took the place. Once they get it, they got it, and they fall in love with that truth. They don't walk the same way everybody in this world walks. They are different. You're very peculiar. You're in the garden of nuts. All these works of the flesh, you get in there, you'll see adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, witchcraft. Well, we're told, witchcraft, rebellion, same thing. But you go in here and you look, envying, murder, any of these people, they're walking after the flesh. That's all it is. It's just flesh, so you know. But the fruit. And I want you to know, the things up there, it doesn't say the fruit. It says, now the works of the flesh are these. But in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And when you fall in love, there's joy. There's peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. And remember, it's easy to love those who love you. It's easy to love those who go along with you all the time, pat your little shoulder. Can you love the others the same way? Not a respecter of persons. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Because they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. all those things. Now you tell a homosexual or tell someone who thinks, and I do believe you still love these people. I love my friend that I met, but I love her enough that I'm not going to agree with her for her to continue in it just to think I care. No, I'm thinking about her future. This is not, I can't say I agree with you because that would be a lie. That would be, but are you going to take boldness and say that if someone asks you? A lot of people will not. I'm telling you, they will not. They'll walk away from it. It's a lot easier. Just walk away. I'm not going to say nothing. If you're led of the Spirit, you're to say it because it won't return void. If we live, are you alive? Have you been quickened? Have you been made alive? If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. These are, to me, really growing points. I don't think you could preach this every day without getting something more out of it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. Don't desire what somebody else has. You want it. You'll do anything to get it. I would say anybody who goes through that, just sit down and wait. I'll wait on God. We'll see what happens. I'm going to wait on God. Don't be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Well, I wish my kids would act. How many people think that? You know, I've done it. They begin to measure themselves one with another. Don't be putting yourself under bondage. Why did my kids do this? Oh, go around and ask people. They'll tell you. Oh, they got an answer for everything. They do. Oh, well, you should have done this and you should have done that. I don't think there's one perfect parent that could stand up today and say, I was perfect. If you were perfect, why did you need him to perfect that love? He perfected it and then you walked in it. Now, I used to think, why can't my kids be like, well, why are my grandkids like, well, why don't they this and why don't they that and why don't my kids come here? They're not supposed to be here, maybe. You know, we can't all understand and come in the same meeting. They don't get it. To them, it's way out here. The Lord knows their heart, and that's where love comes in, and gentleness and kindness. Is it easy to love them? I cry out for grace, Lord, because it does. There'll come times you go, all right, Lord, I need more patience. I need more patience. His patience. And he'll give it to you. He does it in ways that it's so past finding out. I don't even know how he does it. But I love it when he takes you in the Word of God and he begins to correct you. And he says, here's what's wrong. Here's all you had to do. And it was so simple. I didn't have to go and say, well, let me look. Let me see how this is. No, just be still and know I'm God. If you want to know the truth, he's going to let you know. And I believe all of us, if you want to walk in his love, it's in you. It is in you, but it's got to grow. Perfect love casts out fear. I guess you're fully grown. You never fear nothing. No, perfect love casts out fear. There's no room for fear. Now it's being perfected. It's becoming full-bloomed love. That's all we want people to see in our life. We want them to see Jesus. Don't you think Paul wanted them to? When he was having that struggle? People will say you only have one life or one nature or whatever. So if you go out and murder or you commit adultery, what do? Just walk it and say, oh, well, that's okay. Who cares? I only have one life. Well, you're sure getting robbed. You're getting robbed of the highest reward of all. But not just that, you robbed him of all of his glory that he deserved because of everything Jesus did for us. And it's like, Lord, I want your grace. I want to be able, I want that love to go. I want that forgiveness. His. The faith, the life, and the liberty. If you've been made free, tell him to show you in the areas that we struggle with. You're free. You just have to study more and let that grow up. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to walk into freedom. You're going to walk. And then you're still going to have those little guys out there mouthing off. Oh, what a weirdo. Now they're not putting you down for that. They're going to put you down because you're walking with the Lord. Now you're a real weirdo. You're real dumb. You don't have to do all that stuff to be a Christian. You ever heard those words? I really get tired of hearing them. But I go, the Lord knows. Think of all the things he had to hear when he went to the cross. I think the one thing I hated the most was, well, where's your God now? Get down, save yourself and save us. If he would have, you would have been lost forever. And that's why I'm thankful for Jesus. Let's all stand.